This evening we're going to talk about what it means to be a friend. I appreciate the songs that were selected. We talked about friendship with Christ this evening. But what we're going to talk about is not necessarily our friendship with Christ, though we will mention that on a couple of occasions, but our friendships with man. How is it that we're supposed to be friends? How is it that other people are supposed to be friends with us? What decisions should we make when it comes to trying to decide whether or not this person is good to be in my life or this person is hostile, is toxic to my life? And we're going to take a look at what the Scriptures have to say. The majority of our time we're going to spend in the book of Proverbs. Now, I would encourage you to mark the book of Proverbs because it's probably going to be about three or four times we're going to leave it. And so to get back very quickly, go ahead and mark it. Let's go ahead and see what the proverb writer has to say about some things. He first of all lets us know that it is quite valuable to have a good friend. In Proverbs in the 17th chapter. In Proverbs in chapter 17, notice what he says in verse 17. He says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." He makes an interesting point here. Often when we do have troubles in our lives, we turn to family for that. A brother is born for adversity. But you may not necessarily like your brother. It's just a fact, right? I had a teacher say that one time. You were born, you have to be brothers. You have to love each other. You just may not like each other. You just may not get along. You may not have common interests. You may just not want to get together all the time. But when you need them, a brother is there. In the meantime, you have a friend. A friend is a source of comfort. A friend loves at all times. A friend is an individual. They're really a brother or a sister that you chose rather than one that was chosen for you. You got to pick them. You got to search them out and seek and whether or not you can get along with their issues or whether or not you got to make that decision. And you have found someone to be with you. Someone that you crave to be around because your family may not be that one, but a friend can. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs, and notice what he says in verse 24. To build upon that idea, he says, "A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." He gives a good warning here. Too many friends brings you to ruin. Probably due to money issues. If you read Proverbs, he comes into that point a lot. But there is such a thing as a friend that is closer than your relative. Closer than your brother, closer than your sister. Many of you here, I know, have friends like that. Individuals that you have known, that you've been closer to them than any relative that you've got. Even though you've known your brother or your sister longer, this person feels closer to you. They're much more of a mirror to what your own heart is, your own desires are. And they are much more a source of comfort to you. And the proverb writer understands that greatly. This is why it's important for us as Christians to take advantage of some of the blessings that God has given to us. Friends are one of those advantages. And I think sometimes as adults, especially, we leave that to the young people. That's for kids to have those kind of friends. But no, he's talking to an adult here. And he's wanting an adult to take advantage of it. In the 27th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 27, and we'll look in verse 9. A friend can be a great source of counsel. One of the dangers with only being close to your family is that they were raised just like you. So when they give an answer, it's probably going to be fairly similar to the answer you're going to give. But if you really want an honest, objective, you know, from a different point of view answer, it's a friend that you're looking for. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter, in verse 9, he says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend." A friend is able to tell you things. Sometimes a friend is even able to tell you things that your family can't tell you. Because again, family knows how to push buttons. We talked about that a little last night and the night before. Family sometimes knows how to push buttons, but a friend, you can trust that counsel. You chose that individual. We look also in the 11th chapter of verse 14, or the 11th chapter of Proverbs and verse 14. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. He says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is victory." Pairing this with what we read over there in Proverbs chapter 27, we see that the counsel, the advice, the guidance of a friend is to be highly valued, especially if you can get more than one of them. And that's what he's talking about here in the 11th chapter. Find the advisors and don't simply select a small group just because they always agree with you. That's not always useful. Remember who wrote most of the book of Proverbs? A man named Solomon. And how did it go for his son, who selected a small group of advisors that agreed with him? It didn't go very well. We also can look at the understanding that the proverb writer gives us when he tells us how to pick a friend. Because Solomon didn't leave that chance here with Rehoboam. He gave him a lot of examples. And I'm sure his other sons as well were supposed to learn from this like you and I are. So how do we pick friends? Well, first of all, he talks a lot about people you don't want to go anywhere near. Proverbs chapter 20, let's start off there. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. These are the individuals that you do not want as a friend. No matter how much you might get along with them in other aspects. These are toxic individuals, according to the proverb writer. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19, he says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip." Anybody misunderstand that? Sometimes Proverbs is deep. I don't think this is one of the deep verses. Do not associate with them. Don't go near the gossip. Don't tell your secrets to the gossip. Don't get close to the gossip. How are you supposed to ask counsel? How are you supposed to ask an opinion of this individual about something serious to you and your life if you're a little bit worried they're going to go and tell everybody else about it? The answer is you're not going to. You're not going to be able to use this friend for the blessings that God says a friend can be used for. We look in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, let's look down in verses 24 and 25. This goes right along with last night's lesson. When he says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves." The New Testament says that bad company corrupts good morals. That's what the proverb writer is writing about here. If you are around a hot-tempered man, it doesn't take long before a little bit of that hotness rubs off on you. We understand that works pretty well on a stove, right? You put something right next to that heating element, it's going to warm up just the same. Therefore, if we are around constantly an individual who is always hot-tempered, who is always angry, always just ready for that argument, ready for that fight, we're going to see it happen to us. And many of you have seen that happen in your life. Maybe you've worked with individuals that were like this. And you come home and your spouse just says, "What's wrong with you?" "Oh, so-and-so was at work again today. They were in fine form. And it rubbed off." We see that. Therefore, a common friend, one friend that you have all the time in all aspects and you can rely upon, doesn't need to be the hot-tempered one. Or you will learn it. And look in the 23rd chapter. Proverbs 23, verse 20. He says, "Do not go with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags." Stay away from those that are given to drinking, but he adds in gluttony as well. Isn't that interesting? Because we focus so heavily as Christians on do not drink alcohol that we forget that the proverb writer often pairs gluttony right along with it. Don't give in to that individual who is so wrapped up in these earthly pleasures of things like alcohol, like gluttony, the desire, strong desire for food. And he gives a great reason. They'll be broke. And those desires are not going to go away simply because they can't afford it anymore. So where do you think they're going to go to keep feeding those desires? You're going to be broke. That's the point he makes to his son here. We look also in the 24th chapter. In chapter 24, in verses 21 and 22. He says, "My son, fear the king, or fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin that comes from both of them?" He says, you need to fear the Lord and fear the king, and stay away from those individuals that are always saying, "Well, the next one's going to be better. I just can't wait till the next president gets in. He's going to fix everything and things are going to be wonderful." How applicable, right, to our current political climate. But the proverb writer says, don't hang around with those people that are always looking for the next guy. Always just supporting whoever happens to be the rebellious individual that's coming up and wanting that rebel. Don't hang around with them. Just bow down and honor the king. Bow down and honor that ruler, as he says you are to be honoring the Lord down there. Remember, fear the Lord and the king, and stay away from the rebels. Stay away from those that are given to change, he calls them here. Because their calamity will come upon them. Whether it's this presidency or the next, it's going to come. And I think if you look at the Old Testament, you're going to see that that happened to them quite often. In the 25th chapter of Proverbs, we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Proverbs 25 and verse 18. He says, like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. Interesting verses, right? I love his comparisons here. Because he starts off in verse 18, like a club, like a sword, and like a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Would you rather be clubbed over the head or have a friend like this? The proverb writer says there's no difference. He says that violence happening to you, that anger pointed at you, that danger coming at you of having the arrow flying through the air in your direction is the same danger you have if you have a friend that is given to lying, a friend that is given to bearing false witness, a friend who is given to being a faithless individual, someone that you cannot rely upon. We don't need that. We don't need an arrow, right? I don't think many of us would say, you know what, I could use to go outside my house and just get shot tonight. We don't need that. Therefore, we don't need those kind of friends either. But notice what he says in verse 19. Like a bad tooth. How many of you really want a bad tooth? Some of you have had bad teeth. And you know you don't ever want that again. Like a bad tooth. Like an unsteady foot. How many of us like to fall down? We don't like that either. It's confidence in a faithless man in a time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. That was my favorite. Because that's just dumb. That's what he's saying. Like an idiot who goes out into the cold and says, I think I'll just take my coat off. That's an idiot. It's like an individual who sings songs to a troubled heart. Now, wait a second. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? There is a point in the mourning process where you want your friend to come in and you want your friend to cheer you up. Everybody knows that, right? But there is also a point in the mourning process where you don't want anyone to cheer you up. And so that friend comes in and sits next to you, and you sit in silence for an hour. That is what you're wanting. And it is the most grating thing to have somebody come in and try to be cheerful when what you're wanting to do is not be cheerful. And that is what he says here in verse 20. The individual who sings songs to a troubled heart. And the heart doesn't want it right now. It's foolish. Stay away from these kind of friends. Look for the wise friend. Look for the trustworthy. And finally, let's go back to the very first chapter. We've done all of these in the 20s. Now we'll go back to chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, we'll read down through verse 19. Stay away from these people. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Even a hole as those who go down to the pits. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have but one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it's useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lay in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Stay away from violent individuals. And that one may seem obvious, and yet there's a whole host of people in the world that are very close friends with violent people. So obviously it's not so obvious. And we need to be warned that these individuals are going to be crafty. They may not present themselves as openly violent as soon as you meet them. But as soon as you start hearing the warning signs, as soon as you start noticing that they have a little bit of an aggressive streak, like we talked about last night when we talked about managing anger, notice the emotions in others. And if they become a trigger, you stay away from them. Therefore, if you start to see this dangerous streak, understand what verse 19 says, that all of those that are given to violence, given to gaining from violence, will perish with violence. Because that is the ending of it. That those individuals who are given to warfare, given to fighting, given to violence, given to argument, will be consumed by it. And they will lose. We don't really want to lose, right? That's why you're here tonight. You want to win. So stay away from these kind of people. So what kind of friends do you want? Well, I want you to notice something. What do you think that the proverb writer was more concerned about? Finding the right friends or staying away from the wrong ones? Because look at the number of verses I put up on the screen. And just make that comparison for you for just a moment. He was so worried that Rehoboam was going to make the wrong choices. And he did. He didn't make the right ones. In Proverbs in the 13th chapter and verse 20, what kind of friends should we be looking for? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You want to try to find a friend that is wiser than you. Now, I know that's going to be hard because eventually one of you is going to be the lower one. But that's what you're looking for. You're trying to find somebody who is concerned, especially is concerned about what the Word of God is. Because, yes, you may find a wise individual in worldly wisdom. But worldly wisdom can only get you so far. Because according to worldly wisdom, doing what you want is a wise thing to do. But we understand as Christians, that's not the wise thing to do, right? Doing what God wants is wise. So making sure that your friends are wise in the way of the Lord is much better than making sure they're wise in the way of the world. Honestly speaking, when Rehoboam's friends gave him the advice to raise taxes and to make those individuals be in subjection to him, it's a pretty wise thing to do by ancient world standards. If he looked at Egypt, if he looked at Assyria at that point in time, they would have been doing very similar things. But Solomon was wise according to a godly standard. And so Solomon's advisors gave him a godly answer, a godly wisdom answer, which is to lower taxes and make them love you. That was not earthly wisdom of his day. So who did he listen to? He listened to the earthly wise individual. We look also in verse 14 of the same chapter. In chapter 13, verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. This world that leaves stumbling blocks everywhere for us. Paul warned us about those things. We need to be alert. Peter says we need to be aware of the schemes of the devil. Well, how can we become aware if we surround ourselves with people that refuse to see them? How can we be aware if our closest confidants are individuals who are wise according to the world and refuse to notice the sins and the temptations that are around? Therefore, we need to find this verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So what have we learned thus far? We need to stay away from a variety of kind of individuals. And they're not that hard to spot if you look for it. And you're willing to cut ties if you find it. And we need to look for individuals that express wisdom. So one of the ways that they're going to show wisdom is what we're going to talk about next. How do you maintain good friendships? So if you're looking for a friend, look for someone that does the kind of things that we're going to talk about. Or, as we're going to talk about first, the things we're going to say to avoid. So what can I do as a friend? I want to be a better friend with Frank. What can I do or what should I not do? Well, let's start with the not do's. Don't repeat everything you hear. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Turn over there with me again. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. This idea of concealing a transgression is not concealing it to do harm. But this is the idea that someone came and confessed something to you, told you that they're having a trouble, and you kept it there. You didn't take it anywhere else. You didn't broadcast it to the congregation. You didn't broadcast it to the countryside. You most certainly do not post it up on Facebook. I'm really glad so-and-so came and told me this problem that they're having in their life. And I hope that his wife does not go to the divorce lawyer anymore. Cat's out of the bag. You got to keep those things in. And you work with it. And that's what he's talking about here. Is the individual that keeps the transgression to themselves and works with it with their friend is seeking love. But the individual that hears that transgression and then starts telling other people is only going to do harm. Even under the guise of doing good. I think we as Christians fall into this trap a lot. We want to do the right thing so much that when somebody tells us something and we don't know how to handle it, we go and tell 12, 15 people and find their opinion. Because after all, doesn't the scripture say that the value of many advisors is to be valued? You know, that is that truly those individuals who have a lot of counselors, we read that verse a moment ago, but that's not applicable here. They came to you and they're looking for your advice. Therefore, if you have to go outside, don't broadcast it to 12 individuals. You broadcast it to one or two who are going to keep your secret. Because it becomes yours at that point. Those individuals, if they're appropriate, will not be gossips either. So make sure you make those decisions well. Avoid senseless arguments. Chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Sometimes we fight about very petty things in life. Spouses love this one, because we do. Sometimes it's the smallest little thing, but we will fight about it every time the thing occurs. Does it really matter? Because the proverb writer says that once it starts, it's hard to stop. Some of you have worked on plumbing before, and you understand how hard it is to make the water stop. It's hard. Because sometimes it just wants to keep coming out. And you think you've got it sealed, then it starts coming out a different spot. So he says, before the quarrel gets going, before the water really starts rushing, you cut it off. Not them, you. Because remember, we're talking to ourselves. I can control me. I can't control anybody else. So I will stop the argument by not engaging. We talked about this last night, so I'm going to let that go from there. Avoid those senseless arguments. And by the way, learn to understand what is a senseless argument. That's a different lesson, so I'm not going to go any further. Don't overstay your welcome. I like this one. Because, you know, some people need to be told this. Some people, when you go to their house, they need to have this on the back wall because they have a problem with this and they just don't leave. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 17, that is exactly what the proverb writer says. He says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 17, let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. Again, sometimes Proverbs is hard to understand, but this is not one of those times. Because we know what it's like when somebody comes over to our house and they just stay there. Good friends go home. They do. Good friends understand when it is time to leave. And staying until all hours of the early morning, or coming unexpectedly, or staying a long time when you came unexpectedly, that's just not being a good friend. Because you wouldn't like it either. You wouldn't like it if they showed up at your house and were there for 6 hours while you're trying to get the kids ready for bed. That's not helpful. So understand that there are times when you can do something like this. Usually you were invited. But understand as well that there is a point where you need to go home. That is a good friend. If you have a friend that knows when to go home, don't let that friend go. Don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He says, like one who takes a dog by his ears, is he who passes by and meddles with strife, not belonging to him. Sometimes when you're friends with people, they'll ask your advice. And they'll say, my wife and I, we were talking about this the other day, and she was just going on, and I think she's wrong. What do you think? Some of those times, we just need to say, I'm not really going to get involved. I don't need that. I don't need to get in the middle of some personal argument that you're having. I don't need to get in the middle of this, because one, that's going to cause our friendship to be in jeopardy, because it's a 50-50 shot, and you won't agree with your friend. Let their strife be their strife. Now, take this with a grain of salt, right? Take this with a little bit of wisdom, because sometimes somebody's going to come to you with a piece of strife and they need help. And other times they're going to come to you with a piece of strife and you need to decide no. Understand, remember, we're trying to be wise friends. Find those opportunities, but if you can, don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. Let them meddle. And some people like this. Some people seem to go out of their way to find how to meddle in affairs that are not their own. They just need to stay away from it. This one's really interesting. Proverbs 26 and verse 18. Notice what he says. Proverbs 26 verse 18. He says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? This is one of those verses that you read in Scripture and you're like, huh, I didn't know that was in there. Because it's just two little verses and you can read right over it pretty easily. You read some of the stuff around it and that's a lot of discussion. But he says the individual who plays these kind of jokes on their neighbors, or maybe not so much jokes, and says, oh, I was just kidding. I'm sorry that I, damaged your house, or I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, or I'm sorry you didn't get it. Look, some individuals can handle jokes. Some individuals can't. Some individuals, if you tell them a knock-knock joke, you could hurt their feelings. You could get them offended. And you need to be aware that not everybody likes to be joked with. Some individuals love to tell jokes. And I'm pretty sure that they are more naturally telling jokes than they are when they're eating. It is the most comfortable and normal thing to them. And they don't understand why somebody else can't handle it. That's fine. You know, both people can be right. You can tell jokes. You can not tell jokes. But please, both parties understand that there is a measure of risk here. Because he doesn't say that you're just uncomfortable. Notice what he says. This neighbor, verse 19, that deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? He is a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. If you didn't understand that firebrands and arrows are not good, he just says death. So what does the proverb writer really mean here? What's he really trying to say? Is that you need to watch your actions. And what to you might have been a joke, what to you might be funny, to somebody else is catastrophic. Because that's what he called it. He called it death. And there's a lot of individuals today. We see it on Facebook. We see it on the news. Somebody commits suicide. They were bullied in school. Did you know a lot of bullies think they're just joking? Did you know that? They don't know it hurts. Christians should never be in that kind of position. We should know if it hurts. We should make sure we've run it through a filter of what if this is the worst thing this person's ever experienced? What if this person doesn't understand a joke? Run it through that filter and then move forward. But now, if you're really close to the person, and the two of you bat jokes back and forth, that's a whole different ballgame. But understand that there's two kinds of people in this world. I like that one. That one is pretty interesting. What else does he say? Don't be a talebearer. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. He says, For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. You've been camping, you know what it's like. You go to sleep, and there's still coals that are warm, and you wake up in the morning, and they're out. Why? Because you're not feeding the fire. Therefore, if there is a tale to be told, most of the time, if you handle that problem and the issue's gone away, the tale keeps on being told. Did you know so-and-so, we're having some marital troubles? They're okay now. Never should that sentence have ever left your mouth. And the tale. They're moving forward. The individual that has the issue is moving forward, is going on, has corrected the issue. So don't spread the tale any further. Allow it to die. Allow that to be forgotten and move forward. That is what a friend is going to do. Don't be contentious. Some individuals like to fight. Don't do it. Verse 21, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. This individual goes out of their way. Notice what's going on here. From 18 to 21, we're talking about people that come in and burn down perfectly good buildings. Firebrands are thrown. Fire is started. They were jokesters. They were, verse 20, they were whisperers, talebearers. They were, verse 21, they were contentious. You know, we really talked about this before. We talked about it up there in point number four. Don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. We need to make sure we understand those boundaries. We need to make sure that we become good citizens, good Christians, and not just good enough. This is what it means to be good. Don't engage in insincere flattery. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, and we'll look at verse 14. It says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him. Oh, you are just such a great person. You don't need everybody else to know that. Notice that's why he says it in a loud voice. You got up, you're going out to work, everybody's there, you're all getting ready to go to work, and one of the people says, did you know this person is great? No one else needs to know that. If you want to tell that person that they're great, fine, tell it privately. But it becomes suspect, doesn't it, when it happens in public. Then it becomes suspect. And the first time, you might overlook it. The second time, maybe not so much overlook it. The third time, you got to wonder what they're doing here. You got to wonder what's happening here behind the scenes. So insincere flattery, just saying it even though the day hasn't happened yet. Telling somebody, you know, you are the best shepherd I have ever seen, before they've taken the sheep out. There's no compliment to be had there. It's insincere, and they're wanting something. So this is some good advice for things to avoid yourself in being a friend to another individual. Don't repeat everything you hear. Avoid senseless arguments. Don't overstay your welcome. Don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. Don't play bad jokes. Don't be a talebearer. Don't be contentious. Don't engage in insincere flattery. But what am I supposed to do if I want to be a good friend? And I've called this one solving problems with friends. What am I supposed to do if I do want to be a good friend, but we're having some issues? How can I rectify that situation? In Proverbs 16, verse 7, he says, first of all, that you need to make sure your relationship is right with God. Sometimes we forget about this step, and I wanted to bring it right to the forefront. We're talking about friends that are having issues. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I think David is a great example of this. David is fleeing from Saul, and yet he encounters Saul a couple of times. And every time he encounters Saul, he has a chance to kill him, and he doesn't kill him. And what happens? Saul apologizes. Saul weeps. Saul understands that what he's been doing is wrong. Now, granted, he goes back right to it later on. But the point still made that David had his opportunity. And because he was right with the Lord, he was able to make his enemies be at peace with him, at least for a time. And so if we as Christians can make sure that we are right with the Lord, we've got some of those things we talked about of what makes a strong Christian on Sunday evening, things that we need to adopt within our lives to be right and the way that God is desiring, things such as the fruit of the Spirit, as we talked about, or the things mentioned in Colossians 3. Those things, if we're focused on them, and we're the kind of individual that can take a hot-tempered situation and pour ice water on it. That we can calm it down and we can move forward. Blessed, again, are the peacemakers. We need to also be slow to anger. James talks about this in James in the first chapter, but so does the Proverb writer. In Proverbs in chapter 15 and verse 18. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18, he says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Anger likes speed. That's what we like. Have you ever noticed if you really talk with somebody who is angry, that their words just start to come out faster? And sometimes their words don't stop when your words start. And the both of you are talking at the same moment. Because anger quickens. But if you refuse to quicken, you slow your speech, and maybe even speak gently. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. People that are angry can't handle that, because their minds are not in a position to be able to listen to soft-spoken, quiet, slow words. They can't handle that. And so it messes with their minds. That's a good thing when somebody's angry. You want to shake it up. You want to mess with their minds, rock them off their foundation, because it slows them down. So you speak slower. And you don't get angry. James says over there in James chapter 1, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be slow to respond. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13, he says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. When I was a teenager, my dad would be teaching our Bible class, and we like to use those Bible trivia cards right there at the end of class and have to quickly answer questions. It was like a game for us. And he got really good at wording questions in such a way that if we would blurt out the answer, it would be the wrong one. He got really, really good at that, much to our anger. We didn't like that, but that's the point. And I still remember that lesson. that if you don't listen to the full sentence, then you didn't get what they're saying. And the proverb writer tells us here, 18:13 again, if you give an answer before you hear, it is folly and shame to him. Remember I told you a moment ago that the angry individual wants to go faster. They want the whole thing to speed up. But if you refuse to, and you listen to everything they've got to say, and then you slowly start to respond, you've hit the brakes. You've slowed that argument with the friend. You've calmed it down some. You need to make sure as well, Proverbs 20, verse 3, that you avoid fighting. Avoid quarreling. And they go all right together, right? This is last night's lesson from Proverbs. Avoid quarreling. Proverbs 20, verse 3. He says, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. You know, there once was a time when it was considered manly to fight. That's what it was. We look at things, we look at John Wayne. John Wayne, why is he manly? Because he fights. That person in front of him is mouthing off, what's he do? He gives him a right hook. He's manly. But the Bible says something a little different. The Bible says any fool can fight. Any fool will fight. It is the individual who is wise. It is the individual who takes a moment and steps back and realizes, I can get out of this without fighting. That is truly the one that stands apart. Truly the one that is not like everybody else. And what does that sound like to you? That if the world looks at us and says, you're different. That's what it means to be a Christian. Did not Jesus say we are a light to the world? We're supposed to be set on a hill. We're supposed to be set on a candlestick. We're supposed to be unique. Peter says we're supposed to be peculiar. The world's supposed to look at us and say something's different about you. So if we can get into an argument with somebody and calm it down, refuse to engage, refuse to fight, people are going to start to notice this about us. Angry people aren't going to want to be around us either because they want to be angry. So avoid that fighting and you've gained honor for yourself. Proverbs chapter 15. I mentioned this one a moment ago. We're going to talk about the verse for it now. We need to make sure that when there is an issue, you speak gently. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Which one was more terrifying when your parents got angry? When their voice raised or when it lowered? Which one made you notice more? Because you know what, kids, they're really good at tuning out, you know, when you go up. But it's when your voice lowered that you have to stop and listen. And what happens when your voice lowers? When you're listening to an individual who is speaking loud to you, like I did just a moment ago, and I lowered my voice, I noticed there's about five of you that were looking down, and as soon as I lowered my voice, you looked up. Because that's what it does, is it makes you take notice. And so if you've got an individual in front of you who is loud, an individual who is angry, and you refuse to become angry, step number one, and you're slow to respond, and you won't engage the fight, and you speak low, people pay attention. Speak briefly. Proverbs chapter 10. This is just good advice. People just need to know this. That sometimes shorter sentences are very valuable. But some people, when they want to tell you a story, they want you to sit there for 12 to 15 minutes, and then it's your turn to respond. And that's just not how conversation works. If you want to do that, become a preacher. Become a teacher. Have a captive audience where it's appropriate for them to not say anything and for you to talk for a long time. That's why I like my job. But here he says in Proverbs in the 10th chapter in verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. If you're in an argument with somebody and you have said a lot of words, you have said probably half of them that you wish you could take back. And you've been in arguments, you know this. You know that sometimes words come out of your mouth and you cannot believe you said them. You don't even know where they came from. And so the proverb writer wants us to understand that if there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. If you are in that heated argument with that friend that you're trying to have, it's too much. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. We are trying to express love to these individuals that we call friends. We are trying to be kind to them. And one of the greatest places for us to learn how to love our enemies is to learn how to love our friends first. And some people do have a hard time with that. So we need to make sure we focus and be quick to show love to individuals. Finally, let's look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. There will come a time when you're going to want your friend to rebuke you. And if they love you, they will. I don't know what the situation is going to be. I'm not even going to give you examples of it because I probably won't be able to give you your example. But there's going to come a time where either you or your friend needs to rebuke the other one. And I hope that you'll do it with the things we've talked about here. But it is much better to be rebuked, told your error, than to be continually flattered. David is a great example of this because David's opinion of Nathan elevated because Nathan came and told him of his sin with Bathsheba. David did not have Nathan executed. Jehoiakim had a whole bunch of them executed, tried to execute Jeremiah. But no, Nathan was blessed. Nathan was honored because David valued the rebuke. He understood it. We need to make sure that we have friends that are wise, friends that understand that if there is a rebuke coming from our mouth, it's because a rebuke was needed. And those individuals, those that are the ones that are going to praise you for it. So what have we learned this evening? Let's go back and let's talk about some of the things that we've learned. When we have desires to be friends with individuals, there are a number of things the proverb writer wants us to understand and wants us to do. He says that we need to stay away from any individuals that are gossips and talebearers, short-tempered, those that are given to the earthly pleasures, drinking, gluttony, and the like, those that desire change and change and change and change, and can never seem to find stability. Those that are liars and untrustworthy and inconsiderate. Those that are given to violence. We need to look for friends that are wise and wise in the Lord. Because wise on earth is going to come from being wise in the Lord. And the way that we need to act on earth is going to come from being wise in the Lord. We need to make sure that if I want to be a good friend, that I avoid certain things. That I don't tell everything I hear. Some things need to stay between friends, and it brings you closer. We need to make sure that if you want to be a good friend, that you avoid senseless arguments, that you don't overstay your welcome, that you don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. Don't play bad jokes upon each other. Don't be a talebearer. Don't be contentious. Don't engage in insincere flattery. And if there is a problem that arises, as we just talked about, make sure that you're at peace with the Lord. Be slow to anger, slow to respond. Don't engage the fight. Speak gently. Speak briefly. Be quick to show love. But if you need to, rebuke. I hope again that this lesson was interesting and useful to you. It's one of the purposes of the series is that I'm trying to give you some things that you can use to try to grow. This evening we talked about finding an earthly relationship with somebody who that is beneficial to you. And as Christians, we are encouraged to assemble with each other for that very reason. Because we're supposed to get together and be encouraging to each other. But as a group, you can only take it so far. You need to find some individuals that you can get closer to that can be an even greater encouragement to you to help you on your walk with the Lord. If you're here today and you need anything from the congregation, if you want to be baptized and have your sins removed, if you need the congregation's assistance in any way, or if you're looking for a friend, please tell somebody here tonight, let them know.